This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Good morning and welcome to our September episode of the Go Carterton Business Spotlight. I'm Josie Askin from Spring Coaching, and with Go Carterton, your local business association, I'm really proud to bring you this radio series. The Go Carterton Business Spotlight is aimed at highlighting our incredible people and businesses within Carterton and our wider region. Each episode, we'll chat with one of Go Carterton's members over coffee to hear their story. We want to find out the why behind their business, what they do for their customers and clients, and some of their wins and their challenges. And we are actually meeting for coffee, so right now we're sitting at one of my favourite cafes, Wild Oats, right here on High Street upstairs. So you may hear the odd cafe sound. We'll do our best not to slurp our coffees too loudly, though. Hopefully it just adds to the ambience and it makes you feel like you're with us. In short, the Go Carterton Business Spotlight series is all about shining a light on the people behind the businesses, the faces you see at the counter, in the workshops or out in the community, and of course sharing the pride we all have in calling this region our home. So this month, and I'm sure I say this every single month, I am really excited to welcome our guest, Tracy Higgins. Trace is a local YRAP employment consultant who many of you may have already have met. She is keen on owning your own wellbeing journey, and as part of looking after her own wellbeing, Trace loves being active outdoors and travelling to far-flung places. So I'm going to hand over now to Trace to introduce herself. Welcome, Tracy.
Thanks, Josie. Kia ora koutou. My name's Trace. I'm an employment consultant. My business is ATH Consulting cool. Limited. We've put the moniker on it, Available to Help. So many people will know that I've been with Go Carterton for probably about 4 years now. It's a great business association to be part of. I've really enjoyed being part of the Carterton community. I now live down in Martinborough, so taking a slight step outside, but I've still maintained my links.
I was going to say, because you love Go Carterton so much, that you're still a member, which I'm still a member. Is awesome. And also you're our chair as well, which I think massive kudos to you and where you led Go Carterton.
Yeah, thank you. I think we did a lot of things when I was chair, and I was really excited to hand to Sam, who has just done a great job taking it from strength to strength as well. So it's been really good to be part of it and to see, you know, how much Go Carterton is still such an active association, doing really well for its members and doing so much. It's a really great association to be part of.
Thank you. I've got the biggest smile on my face. It makes me really happy to hear. Thank you, Trace. So I always like to start off the interview just learning a little bit more about the person I'm talking to. And I'd love to hear about your journey to our region. Like, what brought you here? How long have you been in this region for?
So we've been in the Wairarapa for 8 years now. So I was born in Paraparamu. I grew up in Palmerston North, moved to Wellington. So it feels like I've done the other part of the star, coming over to the Wairarapa. So I've always lived Lower North Island, New Zealand. And we came to the Wairarapa for a different lifestyle. We first lived down the Waiheni Gorge, where we had a lifestyle property, and we thought we would do lots of tramping up the Waiheni Gorge when we lived there.
How did that go?
Not so much, yeah.
That's what I had to ask.
We've done more tramping since we left, and we moved to Martinborough too. We became townies again, which we're really enjoying,
Fantastic. And what's your favourite thing about living the Wairarapa? Because, I mean, it's such a beautiful place. We're really lucky to live here. What's your absolute favourite thing, other than, of course, Go Carterton?
Other than Go Carterton, what I like is you actually get to know your neighbours when you live in a small town, New Zealand. But you also need to rely on each other, particularly when you're on a lifestyle property, but also when you're in town. You work more as a team with your neighbours than you do in a bigger city. You know, like many a good time of doing firewood in the gorge, where we would do it with all of our neighbours. We had the trees on our property, but to do them properly, you really need a lot of help. So we loved having days spending with our neighbours doing that, being in the city. It's really nice to work with your neighbours on Martinborough is not a city. I'll correct myself.
Yet.
You know, you really need to get to know your neighbours, and I feel very privileged there because it is a town that has a lot of holiday residences. I feel very privileged that everywhere around us where we live is actually people who live there, and most of them are small business owners as well. So we get to, you know, share our trials and tribulations as business owners in the community as well as neighbours. So, yeah.
Nice. You should get them to join nice. Go Carterton, and then I get to interview them.
That would be exciting.
That would be exciting. I have to agree, though, I do find that, you know, living in a smaller town, you recognise the faces that you see around town. Even if you don't know the person, like you don't know their name, you know them.
Yeah.
And it's such a friendly, welcoming place to be.
It's really nice just walking downtown, seeing all the locals and saying hi. And that's a privilege you don't really get in Wellington. You wouldn't necessarily know the locals. You know people because you've been on a bus or a train with them often, or you've worked with them. So those would be your connections, really, in a big town. But in small town New Zealand, you know people from different walks of life as well. So you might know people where others will be like, how do you know them? I know them through school. And I'm like, well, we don't have children, so I actually know them through, you know, we swam together in the morning, or we are both members of Go Carterton, or Women in Business, or something like that. Yeah, so it's just a nicer way you get to connect with people here. It's more friendly.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, we walked into Wild Oats this morning, and, you know, Crystal said, hello, Josie. It's just, it's lovely. You don't get that elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice.
And I'm really lucky to know quite a bit about you, but I'm sure our listeners would like to know more. Tell us a little bit about your background. How did you become an employment consultant?
Yes. So, where to start? Goodness. I, in my mid-20s, worked out that I needed to do something different. Yeah, just a couple of years ago. Worked out I needed to do something different career-wise from what I was doing. At that point in time, the interest on student loans from the day that you drew them down had stopped in New Zealand.
Okay.
And we still had 7.5% interest, but it was from the time you graduated. So at that point, I went to university and did a degree in HR and human resource management and industrial relations is the degree I have. And I also did a second, I can't remember what they're called, but I did a second one where, so I've got management in HR, so second major, sorry. And then I did a minor in commercial law. So had enough to get I'd had enough papers, but not enough to get that as a third major. And I had had enough of uni. I know, I'd had enough of uni by then. Yeah, so I was pretty much in, focused and out. So within 3 years, one of which was part-time, I'd completed my degree and went back into the workforce. And I think that's one of the benefits of being, if you can call 25 mature, doing university as a mature student, you know exactly what you need to do. So I was in, got my degree and out. And then I graduated and went to work in, like probably many people, Wellington government departments. Started to build my skills up, get into it a wee bit more. Went to the private sector. I worked for Woolworths, now Woolworths, as an area HR specialist. So had 16 supermarkets, about 2,000 employees that I was the sole HR prac for. So lots of different things. And that taught me to really think on my feet. I had to get really creative, had a massive focus on labour turnover. So how do we retain our people in a fast-paced environment? Now, they call it FMCG, so fast-moving consumable goods. I called it FMHR, so fast-moving HR. It was how I learnt to have a really quick turnover, that I had to meet managers where they were at. And I needed to make sure that our managers, who were running multi-million dollar businesses, had the tools readily accessible at their fingertips, advice when they needed it, and they were able to move really, really quickly. So I learnt a lot from spending 4 years at Woolworths.
You would have
like
been.
A lot.
It's a massive place to work, and just that experience of needing to be able to think quickly on your feet.
Yep.
Key skill, but also one that you can transfer to so many different areas of your life as well.
I agree, and it probably put me in really good stead for what I do now. After that, I came back into working in the public sector, and I will say that I found it nice because you got lots of training and development, but very slow paced in comparison. And then I spent the rest of my career flicking back and forth between public and private businesses before about 8 years ago now. The place I was in went through a restructure. I took an opportunity to take redundancy at that point, and I exited, and I spent about 2 or 3 months in a sabbatical just considering what I wanted to do next. I didn't want to rush into another job. I knew I didn't need to. And then I fell into contracting. So I did contracting for quite a few years in-house. And then what I found over time was people would ask me for help for different bits and pieces. So I started picking up a few clients here and there. And then after the public health order, which I'd put in for COVID at a government agency, I was really tired, really stretched. and I just needed to step off. And all I did was I retained my private clients. Mm-hmm. And it was about that time, I think I was becoming chair of Go Carleton. I was working really closely with business wide at APA. And I started really building my networks within the wider APA and looking to help people out a whole lot more. Like,
you're
particularly
the go-to person here for anything to do with employment. Mm. Like, if anyone says, you know, who's the best person to go to? It's like,
go to Chase. Yeah. And I think that really helped, was really getting into those networks, spending a lot of time with people and doing a lot of voluntary work as well. Mm. And I put my hand up to do any training that people wanted, any coaching people wanted, anything like that. That they might have needed, that was all tied around advisory or partnership HR. So it's different coaching to what Josie does. I do more coaching through actual things like that. Josie is the supreme coach for if you want to get better or something.
Oh, thank you.
So two different types of coaching. I thought I'd just clarify that. But yeah, so I kind of got into it that way, running my own business, setting up in the wider APA. We set up a website, a Facebook page. And when I say we, it was my husband and I, and we set ourselves up actually as a law firm that only focused on employment and liquor licensing. Fast forward to the end of last year where Alan got appointed to the Employment Relations Authority. So we went through another pivot in our business. We had to get rid of him from the business completely, which he is now, because he cannot be an authority member and in our business. So we had to remove him as a director. We had to get all the sign writing off the car. Because we couldn't have that either for
us. That's quite a process.
Yep. We had to, like, we were both all over the website. So I thought, and this is probably a trick for other people who are going to pivot in their business, I thought I would just get it quickly taken down. I would do the work and put it live later. No, it turns out that we've actually managed to shut the full thing down completely.
Oh, no.
So with the amount of effort required now to rebuild it, I just decided, actually, I didn't want to put a website back up. So I'm just solely focused on the Facebook page now. Is a good way to do it. And most people have my number. Most people will come to me through word of mouth.
Yes.
Because as Josie said,
you're the go-to person.
Yeah, the go-to person, but there's also, there's no other really employment people in the wider APA who do what I do and support businesses in the way I support business. I mostly work with businesses. I will do occasional help for employees, but I tend to work with Greg Lloyd from Lloyd Law. For employees, so I work with him a lot. He's a really great practitioner, so we have a good established relationship there. And if I need legal advice with my clients, I tend to work with Dean from Garwith Burridge as well. He's a really experienced employment lawyer. So I do have lawyers that I will still continue to work with, and with my two established people. And then I've got other people around the Lower North Island as well, if people want someone closer to home. Yeah, yeah. So my clients are generally Lower North Island. So they are spread around a wee bit. Most of my work would be remote. When people need me face-to-face, we make it happen. Mm. Yeah.
So I mean, I've always found you to be a really inspiring person, someone that's great person to talk to. You know who the winner is or how to fix things. What inspires you, though? Like, I'm lucky enough to have you to inspire me. What inspires you to get up in the morning and go?
There's a few things that I've worked out in my life, and I think everyone goes on a bit of a learning journey for what works for them and what doesn't. I have always liked helping people and making sure that they are comfortable, because a lot of things in employment are not comfortable.
People are messy.
People are messy.
And complex.
Yeah. And people do things that, you know, they then later have huge regret for, but you've still got to deal with the thing that's happened. Mm. Yeah. So, and particularly where that impacts on the business or it impacts on the trust and confidence in the employment relationship, like those things really do need to happen. Yeah, so you deal with these things with people and you've got to work through it. And what I appreciate as well is small businesses don't have a huge amount of resources financially to deal with these matters.
No, they don't.
No, they don't have often an understanding. They often don't realise how nuanced it is working with employment relationships. So I spend quite, and that's where my coaching comes in, is just working it through with people so that they understand, you know, the risk from a legal perspective, any comeback on them, and also how they could work with their people and treat them like a human being. So I like quite a human-centred approach, that people are humans, they make mistakes. None of us come off the conveyor belt perfect.
I mean, how boring would it be, though, if we're all perfect?
I know, right?
So dull.
We were talking this morning about the, what you're born with natural skills for and what you're not. And one of the examples given in the group that we were talking with earlier with Go Carterton was about, no one's born holding a hammer. It's the same with being a people leader or a business owner. You're not born with the full skill set that you need. And in Small Business New Zealand, you need to be your own accountant, your own coach, your own cheerleader, your own HR person, your own bookkeeper. We all know what it's cleaner. Like month end, your own cleaner, your own website designer,
social media,
marketing. Yeah. So you're all of those things. But employment law is complex. There is over 10 different pieces of legislation that you need to roll around in and understand. So I have huge respect for business owners who are like, no, I'm fine, I'll go it alone. And I'm like, all good. For many years, I offered, 15 minutes of free advice, which I still would anyway if people called me. But I did that as part of being the employment consultant for Business Wide at APA. So we offered that free to Business Wide at APA members. For
great helpline.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years we ran the helpline for Business Wide at APA. And just always helping people out because I knew how stressful it was for people. Mm. Yeah, particularly when that happens. So I spent a lot of time doing that just to help businesses. And I would rather people called me and had a conversation for 5 minutes than they went and did something that damaged their employment relationship beyond repair, that cost them a significant amount of money in trying to put it right.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Really keen to dive more into some of the rewards and challenges of what you do. But before we go there, let's pause for a song. Our regular listeners will know that this is one of my favourite parts of our series, where we get the guest to pick the song, which means it's a wonderful way to learn a little bit more about the person that you're talking to. And so for this month, Tracy has picked for us Sapphire by Ed Sheeran as our song.
You're glowing, you colour and fracture the light. You can't help but shine. And I know that you carry the world on your back, but look at you tonight. The lights, your face, your eyes exploding like fireworks in the sky. Sapphire, touch on your body while you're pushing on me. Don't you win the party, I could do this all week. To our feet now, you know the truth is, we could disappear anywhere, as long as I got you there. When the sun dies, till the day shines, when I'm with you, there's not enough time. You are my spring flower, watching you bloom wild. We are surrounded, but I can only see the lights, your face, your eyes, exploding like fireworks in the sky. Set fire! Touching your body while you're pushing on. Chamma chamma ke sitare bari ki chamma chamma ke sitare bari ki chamma chamma ke sitare bari ki.
welcome back. So Trace and I were just chatting about the song because I always thought I was a massive Ed Sheeran fan, but I had to admit that I'd never heard of Sapphire before. So when she told me this is the song that she wanted to play, I listened to it as I often do. And yeah, I've been playing it on repeat since. It's a fantastic song. I love it. They're kind of upbeat and happy. So anyway, before we listen to Ed, we were talking about what inspires Tracy and also around a little bit about what it is to be an employment consultant. So I'd love to dive into some of the rewards, but also the flip side, some of the challenges that comes with doing what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably one of the challenging things is part of my role is to put the calm balm on. People come to you and they're all stressed and they're just like, I've just had a grievance, this has happened, I help. I'm often like 50% of my work is reactive. Mm. So 50% of the time you'll just get a phone call and you don't know what you're going to walk into, or you'll get an email, or I need to speak to you urgently, text message. Mm. And that is just life as an employment consultant. It can make it a little bit hard to plan your time, but I am working on that.
I know a great coach that could help with that.
I know, right? Just the best, Josie. but that's part of what you need to bring. And if I'm not in the right mental space, or if I'm not looking after my well-being, that can be really hard to put the calm balm on for somebody else. So that's what I make sure I spend a lot of time preparing.
How do you do that?
So what do? I do quite a bit for well-being. So I am currently on a coaching program all around how I eat and what I eat and the order I eat. Because I'm focusing on midlife eating. So
such a tricky time.
It's a very tricky time. But
the brain fog.
It's crazy. But what I've been working on is protein, fiber, plant-based food, the order that you're eating. And we're currently looking at lucerne protein and how you get lucerne protein into your diet. So like, it's really good to have a different challenge each fortnight that I've been working
through.
You won't
get bored.
I'm definitely not getting bored. So that's one of the things I do. Another thing I do, which also fits into how I'm managing my time, is I intentionally do a lot of travel. So part of the reason I heard Ed Sheeran's song Sapphire was because it's based in India, and I went to India earlier this year. So I had a 5-week trip to India and Sri Lanka. The first part of it was a yoga retreat. So it was making sure, again, I'm looking after my well-being. Mm-hmm. I'm putting myself on the charger. Another international holiday I've just been on is I've just come back from Rarotonga, so I spent 10 days...
And you were glowing, can I say?
Thank you. I spent 10 days doing very, very little, but in some nice sunshine, which was quite nice because it's been a bit of a chilly winter. Mm. And I think, you know, we're coming into spring now and we're seeing all of the daffodils.
It's beautiful. It's like my favourite seasons, this kind of pre-spring season, which, you know, is what I call August, is pre-spring. It's almost spring, but yeah.
Yeah, so spring's such a lovely time. And obviously in Cardston we've got the Daffodil Festival.
We do.
So we celebrate spring, which is nice. So that kind of aspect is what I do to look after myself. I do lots of exercise. I exercise every single day. Doesn't need to be huge, but I've been on a bit of a health kick since July and now in August, and I'll have in my September goals as well. So exercising at least twice every day for at least 20 minutes each time, and it can be a walk, it could be yoga, it could be a step class.
Just moving your body.
Moving my body. And it's generally from home because I'm still stuck in the lifestyle property gig where you were nowhere near anything to go and use it. And even though we've lived in Martinborough for 2 years, I still haven't joined a gym or anything. So I still just do my thing from home in my own time and when it suits my schedule.
I think actually that requires more commitment because you have to make that space in your day and actually create that habit. If you have a gym to go to, I personally find it easier. So for people that are able to commit and work out at home, my hat goes off to them. For me, it's a lot more challenging. So you talk a little bit about people owning their own well-being. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, thanks. I think that's a really great question, actually. And it goes to people being quite insightful about themselves and their own lives and being intentional about who they want to be, how they want to show up, and how they want to come across in life. So for me, it's really important that you own your own stuff in life, including your well-being. So your well-being doesn't happen by accident. It happens because you're really intentional with what you do. So I'm incredibly intentional about what I do and how I set up my day and how I fit the things in that I know are really important for my well-being. So you'll see a lot of people who will do, you know, they've got a large family or something, and they'll do their meal prep on a Sunday. Well, it doesn't matter if you've got a family or not. You can actually do that yourself.
That's actually my favourite time on a Sunday. I love to meal prep. I love chopping veggies. I find it quite relaxing.
Yep. So I do lots of prepping on a Sunday. I'll make sure I've got all my snacks, my healthy snacks. I'll make sure I've got healthy food in the house. I'll make sure that I have everything I need prepped on a Sunday, if possible, to be healthy for the week ahead. Every morning when I get up, I will do Wordle first, because that's my connection point
Wordle
with other people.
I do it in the evening with my husband.
Yeah, so I will do Wordle first, then I will jump up, and this is a good thing to do. So I force myself to go and do some exercise. So I'll go and do my 20-minute step class or 20 minutes of yoga, something like that. I'll do my first exercise bit. Then I'll have a shower, get dressed. Then what I do is I put the jug on and I make myself a lemon water as my first drink of the day. Hot lemon water and coffee will be my second. But what I do with that lemon water is I walk around the block. So that becomes my fake walk to work, because I work from home.
I'm carrying my lemon water.
Yep. So I just walk around the block sipping. Now I do this in Marlborough.
Yeah.
Yep, because it's my fake commute. So my neighbours see me, lots of clients will see me, and this is an active piece of my well-being. So I don't wear sunglasses because I want to get the serotonin into my body, because if you have good serotonin, it means you can sleep well at night. It means that you are walking around and you've got a focus as well. So if you're a little bit, need something to do with your hands, or, you know, you get a little bit overstimulated, it's a good thing to do. Now, I find that a really calming walk. It means I see people, I wave out at people, but I'm also getting some more steps in.
Yes.
So in my perfect world, I've done between 4,000 and 5,000 steps before I even start work on a day. So then I'll start work, and most, probably at least twice in the morning, I'll walk around the block again. And that's about 1,000 steps for me each walk around the block. And I'm very intentional with doing that for my well-being, because it's hard for you to show up for other people if you're not in a good headspace. So if I have some challenging stuff that happens, and that can be, for me, the things I find really hard is when you're supporting a client with someone who's passed away, you're supporting something where somebody has been very angry, very attacking.
Must carry a lot.
Yeah, so there can be a lot of energy when there's a lot of negative energy, those kind of things. I won't move straight on to another piece of work. I'll take a walk around the block. I'll look after my own well-being first.
Nice.
And then at the end of the day, I do the same thing with a walk around the block. So I'm doing my fake walk home.
Can you go in the reverse direction?
No, I can't. I'm pretty religious with the one, but sometimes I mix myself up.
But if you're going back home,
I know, right? You should, right? Yeah, but I do sometimes a figure eight, sometimes a longer walk. Yeah, so I've got a few that are slightly longer. So I'll do things like that. And then at night, at least before I go to sleep, I will listen to a insight timer. So I will do something on insight timer, which is all around doing some form of meditation, but it's guided meditation. Yeah.
So this is all stuff that you intentionally, deliberately, mindfully do for yourself. Mm-hmm. If we take it to the workplace, where does that responsibility sit? How much of that responsibility of well-being sits with the employer versus the employee? So that's a curly question.
I think that's a really good question, and it's really true. Everyone's own responsibility sits with themselves. But as a business owner under the Health and Safety at Work Act, you have a duty of care for well-being and health and safety of your people. If you're noticing your people being really tense and uptight, then there's things that you can encourage. So I'm a massive fan of walking meetings. So go for a walk with your people. You can have conversations about all sorts of things where you're not eyeballing each other.
I think there's a lot to be said for being side by side when you're having a conversation. It's not quite as intimidating. Like, I've heard about, you know, particularly in families, if parents want to know what's going on with their children, to actually, you know, talk while you're preparing a meal, or for those that don't have a dishwasher, doing the dishes or driving or something like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Staring.
Because staring at each other can be quite confrontational, and if it's stuff that people want to work through, and it's okay. And then if you've got a silence, it's not necessarily uncomfortable because you're still walking and you're talking. So I think having a look at certain things like that and what you can implement in your workplace, and I'm always really happy to spitball with people about different ideas that they can try in their workplace. There's definitely an element of looking after parts of the workplace to make sure that anything that could be a hazard is you know, worked through as well. So you've definitely still got responsibilities about that. But one of the key differences with the Health and Safety at Work Act over the previous act around health and safety is that there is a lot more onus taken on employee contribution. So it's about not thinking as the business owner, I have the responsibility of looking after everybody's wellbeing and deciding what wellbeing means to them. You don't have that responsibility. You do have a responsibility to say, hey, if we were going to do some wellbeing things, what would that look like? What would be meaningful for you? That's a better conversation to have, because you don't have to have all the answers as a business owner. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to be consultative with your people. And it sends a better message to your people that they're included within the decision-making in the business.
Yeah, I love that. And I'd like to talk more in a moment just about the different trends in the workplace around wellbeing and productivity and all the other good stuff. But before we go there, let's pause for another song. And our second song is Ordinary by Alex Warren.
They say the holy water's watered down, and this town's lost its faith. Our colors will fade eventually, so if our time is running out, day after day, we'll make the mundane a masterpiece. Oh my, my, oh my, my love. I take one look at you, you're taking me out of the ordinary. I want you laying me down to the dead and buried. On the edge of your knife, staying drunk on your ride. The angels up in the clouds are jealous, knowing we found.
Another great song, thank you, Trace. So before the break, we were talking about trends in the workplace, particularly around wellbeing. What do you think has changed around how people perceive their work life now versus how it used to be? Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking in terms of relationship with work and the work-life balance they're all striving for.
Mm. I agree. We've seen a bit of a shift, definitely since post-COVID times. And what we're seeing currently is more of a very definite on this is what I will do for work, and it's more controlled by the employee than it is by the employer. Now, I'm Gen X. When I came into the workplace, I was still very much you're seen and not heard, and you do what I say and you don't ask any questions. So I feel like my generation spent a lot of time trying to figure out what it was that we needed to do. We got very good at keeping our head below the parapet, and we just shut up and got on with it. And now my generation is generally the leaders within the business now, Gen X. We've seen our baby boomers retiring, so we've seen a bit of a changing of the guards. But what we're also seeing as well is the younger generations coming up through And even some of the Gen X's as well, with like, no, actually, this is actually all I'm prepared to give now in a workplace. There was some really interesting things coming down from different cultures around the world. One of them was the lie-down culture. In other words, I'm just going to lie down and rest. I'm sick of, you know, working myself to the bone. I remember some of the other names that were given, but they were all along the same themes. And we're seeing it definitely in New Zealand with people, and it's turning into a bit of a you owe me. And it's like, oh, gosh, that's really interesting, because the basis of employment remuneration is quid pro quo, so something for something. And generally, your contractual terms will be, for this amount of hours of work, we expect this amount of pay. Now, it used to be that you would be like, oh, I'm employed for 40 hours a week. I want to leave something with the employer, so I might do 42 hours or 45 hours, and I won't expect to be paid for that. We're seeing a real shift with that now.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I think rightly so in some ways, because some of that has been taken advantage of, and I know probably myself and many other listeners would have done a lot of travel for work that was unpaid and gifted to the workplace.
Yes.
And when you're doing that day in, day out for years on end, that can feel very tiring and draining.
And it all adds up quite quickly. Like every year, me saying no to something else, and it may seem small at the time, but a lot of small things, you know, if you put a penny into a high interest savings account, that's going to add up quickly.
Yeah. And we see that living in the Wairarapa, with a lot of people who commute over to Wellington as well. It's a long commute, you know. You're talking 4 to 5 hours of your day spent commuting to a job. And that is on top of your 40 hours of work a week, plus your, 5 hours, let's say, of unpaid lunch breaks. So when you add up a lot of that, it can be actually that your work life takes up 80 hours of your week, but you're paid for 40. Because that's actually your paid working time. And a lot of people in the Wairarapa give a lot more, because they might spend their trip over working on their computer, getting stuff done. I know I did that many times. And if you're an employee, you're not necessarily getting paid for that. So I think there's definitely, we've seen some shifts, but also some of it is people who are taking a lot of unplanned absence. And that can make it really challenging on the business when you have people who just aren't showing up. So you can imagine your corner retail shop with nobody serving in it because the person didn't come. You go to your hairdresser, but actually they're not there because they're not at work. And I'm not saying this is what's happening necessarily in those businesses. They're just examples.
Yes. I was going to ask about disengaged staff. Because, you know, I've been hearing more about it, but you're actually talking about staff not turning up, which is that next level, just being absent.
Yeah.
What are the trends there?
Yeah, definitely a lot of disengaged people. And I remember seeing it sometimes in my Countdown days, Woolworths days, where you'd have a lot of people like it in those kind of roles just not showing up. And I used to always think, gosh, they really must have no bills to pay. And we're seeing a trend of, you know, people staying at home a lot longer, so perhaps they don't need as much money. And even people in knowledge working roles just not showing up.
So what does that disengagement actually look like? Say, if we say in the office environment or something like that, how would you know one of your staff members was disengaged?
Yeah, and I think that's a good question, actually. I'm just referencing back to the Business Wairarapa Summit, where I think it was that Brad Olson talked about 30% of the workplace was disengaged. That's a lot of people who are disengaged. So if you've got 10 people in your workplace, perhaps 3 of them aren't actually engaged in the work that you're doing. So say they are driving a truck, you might see that that truck is just stationary a lot of the time. I know like some people have found that their workers are just stationary at, let's say that they are a electrician or something, and they're outside an electrical supply shop, but they went in to pick up one thing and they've been there an hour. Those kind of things are what we're seeing a lot of, is a lot of just tardiness generally. And what I'm finding is people, particularly, they're scared because they don't have employment advice coming from someone, and they don't know how to raise it with the person, so they just accept it. And what I would say is, you've got facts available to you to put to the person, and if you don't talk to them sooner rather than later and nip it in the bud, that will continue to grow, because people are seeing they can get away with it. So I always believe it's best to talk earlier rather than later.
And get advice if you're not sure. Talk to someone like yourself.
Yeah, get
because
advice.
I can imagine, like, these sorts of mistakes can cost millions if you don't.
It adds up.
Yeah.
It adds up.
Quickly.
So if you think about a third of the workforce in New Zealand, so our workforce in New Zealand is about 3 million people. Yeah. So you've got 1 million people who are potentially not working. That's a massive cost to our society.
It's huge. Mm. Are there any other kind of quick tips you'd have for our listeners at home or at work about what they can do if they maybe suspect that one of the employees are disengaged? Yep. So ask for help. What else?
So some of the things that I work on is the employment life cycle. And what are you offering in the employment life cycle? Are you being really harsh at some point, or are you giving mixed messages? Are you actually involving your employees in the decision making? Are you ever talking to your employees about what brings them joy at work and what kills their joy? Like, if you're having some really open conversations with people, and if you're finding that actually you are booking them for work that they absolutely detest, and therefore they're not, their heart's not in doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But somebody else actually quite likes that work in your workplace, well, why are you giving it to the person who doesn't like that work?
And I guess that's so about knowing your people and knowing what their strengths are and what they enjoy doing, and kind of when you are assigning or delegating tasks, keeping that in mind.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Keep it in mind. Again, take that human-centred approach to your people. I find most managers actually really know their people quite well. And what I would say is keep doing that. Keep talking with your people. Don't be afraid to say to someone, hey, look, is your heart in this anymore? If it's not, let's have a chat. Is there something else we can do? Is there something I can support you with, like finding a new job that does spark your joy? Be sad to lose you, but hey, let's have a chat about this and just make sure.
Perfect. No, that's a great answer.
Yeah, because under the Employment Relations Act, part of the requirements is to be active and constructive and communicative. So being communicative is
talking.
Actually really important. Talking, and it goes both ways.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I've got a couple more questions for you, if that's okay,
Trace.
I'm really enjoying our conversation. But before we go, then, let's have our final song. Mm-hmm. And our final song you picked for us is Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, Shallow. And it's from an amazing new movie, A Star Is Born.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for? I'll fall in all the good times I find myself longing for change, and in the bad times I fear myself.
Tell me something, boy, aren't you tired trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore? I'm falling in all the good times I find myself.
In the shadow, shadow, la, 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 la.
wrap up our interview today, Tracy, I just want to kind of open it up for you. Is there anything that we haven't discussed that you'd like to share with our listeners? Anything at all?
I think just, you know, a huge appreciation for people who are out there listening and who are in their working phase of life, whether that be as a business owner or an employee. You're doing amazing. You're on a good journey, and make it work for you is what I would say. You know, we spend a lot of our lives in the workforce, and do make sure that your work brings you joy and you're doing what you love. And you know what? It doesn't matter what the work is. We all need it. Big shout out to our healthcare workers as well.
Absolutely.
You do amazing stuff around our community, helping the vulnerable people, you know. So big shout out to people who are doing that type of work as well.
Such an important message. Thank you for sharing that. And if any of our listeners listening at work or at home and they're thinking, I really want to hear more from Tracy. I want, you know, I have this gnarly employment thing happening at the moment. How can I get in contact with you? What's the best way for someone to reach out to you, Trace?
Yeah, so I'm on Facebook under ATH Consulting. I've also got, I'm pretty sure on the Carterton web pages, I have my business details. So it's got my phone number. It's got my email, which is Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-Y, at athconsulting.co.nz. I'm always happy for an email or to be dropped a text so that I can get back to you as soon as possible.
That's great. And if you're happy, we'll share those details on the program page so all of our listeners can see them there.
Absolutely.
Cool. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed our talk this morning. So a big thank you to our wonderful guest, Tracy, from ATH Consulting. And you definitely live up to the name of being available to help. You're always so willing to just kind of go the extra mile. So.
Thank you.
Now, if you're sitting at home and wondering what is Go Carterton all about, then please do check out our fancy new website, which is www.go-carterton.nz. You can also check out the March episode. Back then, we talked a little bit more about who Go Carterton is, what we can do. Because on our website, you'll learn about all the great benefits of being a member of Go Carterton. Tracy's actually kindly touched on some of those already, including our socials, our monthly Business Connect, promotions, and of course we love to advertise and market our members as well, including the opportunity to be on our radio show. So that's all for me for this month. I'm Josie Essing from Spring Coaching, and thank you again to our listeners for tuning in on our Go Carterton Business Spotlight. Looking forward to sharing more inspiring local stories with you next month. Ka kita anō.